All right, this morning's scripture reading is found in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, and we're going to read to chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. And ask when you get there, if you please stand and show reverence for the Word of God. And again, if you don't have a Bible, see me, and I will give you a Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. And now the reading of the Word of God. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert, self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. We praise God for this portion of His holy word. It's a reminder as we look at this morning, the coming of the Lord, behold He comes, that the rapture could take place at any moment, even as we're here this very second. We do not know the exact day or time of when it will happen. So in the book of 1 Thessalonians, if you guys want to keep your Bibles open there, in a moment's notice, unsuspected life as we know it will all change. God will intervene into the everyday world that we know, just like He did 2,000 years ago. It's hard to imagine such an amazing event to take place because we're so used to everyday life, every day going through the motions, doing what we do. But at some point, God will say enough is enough and it will be time for Him to begin the end time process. And for us as the church, to be raptured. Some say if Jesus was going to come back, He would have done it by now. I don't know exactly what makes those people experts. But apparently, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, Scripture says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Just because Jesus hasn't come back yet doesn't mean He's slow in keeping His promise. It means He is being patient, wanting everyone to come to repentance and believing upon Him. Paul's explanation of this topic is important for at least two reasons, and really, we could get into a discussion about this for quite some time, so I got to try to narrow this whole discussion down to hit some of the main points here this morning. Number one, it is to encourage the believers in the hope of everlasting life of loved ones who have already passed on. And number two, to remind us, as believers, we can't get lazy and slack off. The Lord will return at any time, and we need to be about doing the Lord's work. So in verses 13 and 14 of chapter 4, the Thessalonians were wondering why many of their fellow believers had died and what would happen to them when Christ returned. Paul wanted the Thessalonians to understand that death is not the end of the story. The great hope for all believers is in the resurrection. We may wonder the same thing. What happens to those, and hopefully we know the answers, when a believer passes away or dies, we know to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Because Jesus Christ came back to life, so will all believers, including those who have already died. Therefore, we need not despair when loved ones die or world events and tragedy come. God will turn tragedy into triumph, poverty to riches, pain to glory, and defeat to victory. All believers throughout history will stand reunited in God's very presence, safe and secure. As Paul comforted the Thessalonians with the promise of the resurrection, so we should comfort and reassure each other with this great hope. We can encourage each other that when we lose a loved one who believed in the Lord, that, hey, we're going to be reunited again. Now, Scripture says in this first part of Scripture, it says, to those who fall asleep. What this is referring to is the body and not the soul, all right? There are those that believe that when you die, you fall asleep until the Lord's resurrection, and then the believer is resurrected. Now, that is not what this is saying. Falling asleep here is talking about the physical body falls asleep, but the soul is alive in the presence of the Lord. Amen? So those who fall asleep, the believers who die, is said to sleep during the time between death and resurrection. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 says, and I've already quoted it, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The moment you take your last breath, you are in the presence of your Savior and your King. Amen. Verse 15, Paul says, according to the Lord's own words, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left to the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Right there, Paul says, according to the Lord's own words, according to Jesus Christ himself, either Paul or it was a teaching of the apostles, that Jesus spoke to them directly, according to Jesus' own words, we'll be reunited in the Lord's return. And so, this is a teaching that came directly from the word of Christ, of Paul, and or the apostles. So here is what is going to happen. And as I said, it can happen today. And the scriptures give it very clearly, but this is kind of the way it's going to go. When it is time, when the Father looks at Jesus and he says, it is time. It is time. The Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with a voice of the archangel Michael, which is one of the only names for an archangel that we see is Michael. With a trumpet call of God, and you better believe that is going to be some blast, all right, when the trumpet call of God is brought forth. At that point, the bodies of the dead will rise first and meet with their souls, and will come back, and they will have new bodies. Believers who are alive will be caught up, or we use the word rapture, the word's caught up, in Scripture, as we've read, the word rapture is Latin for the same thing, be caught up. So just because you read here and you don't see the word rapture is a Latin word that means be caught up, just so everyone understands that. We who are alive will be caught up or raptured in the clouds to meet with Christ and to be reunited with past believers. and we'll be with the Lord forever. We'll be reunited forever and ever, and we will all at that point, those who are alive and those who have passed on before us, all given and all reunited with our glorified bodies at that point. So, you're only fooling yourself if you do not believe that Christ couldn't come back in our lifetime. There are more prophetic signs of his return today than ever in history. We all know it began back when Israel became a nation. That was the first sign that kicked off the beginning of the end time prophecies. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able just to observe what is going on in the world and to know that there is a time that is drawing near. I don't have time to go over any of those things, but all you have to do is look around or even do a search about prophetic signs, and you can see the list of so many of those things that are already coming true. Years and years ago, there's a lot of things that we know today, but back then they would say, well, how is this happen? How would that happen? How would this happen? And we all know, even just as simple of the mark of the beast, and how is everyone 666, and how are they going to have this on their head? And we already know about the chips that are being placed in people and things and dogs and all kinds of stuff that is leading for the Antichrist's spirit to come into the world and to seize control in the midst of chaos. So the question is, what are you going to do with this information for its return? Number one, it should encourage you for loved ones who have passed in the Lord. It should be encouragement that, hey, I am going to see my loved ones again. I know I have a couple people that I can't wait to see again. Family and good friends. Number two, it should motivate you to be living for the Lord. Because if the Lord is coming back, I better be living for the Lord and not living for myself. Amen? The last thing I want to be doing is just living for myself. And the Lord called me up and it's like, whoa, uh-oh. I want to be living for the Lord. And number three, it should motivate you to share the Lord with others. Because listen, it don't matter if you're walking down the street with your buddy and your buddy don't know the Lord and the rapture happens, you're gone and he's here. And you're not going to want to have to go through the tribulation period. And so it should motivate us to be sharing the love of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as we move on to chapter 5, Paul talks more about the day of the Lord. Paul starts out with the answer to an obvious question. When? That's what everybody wants to know. When? When will the day of the Lord begin? When will the rapture happen? It says, now brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. How and when all this will happen refers to the knowledge of what will happen in the future, specifically the return of Christ. Efforts to determine the date of Christ's return are foolish. Don't be misled by anyone who claims to know. When that guy was going around putting up on billboards it was going to happen in whatever it was, 2012 or 11, I can't even remember. When people say they know when the return of Christ is going to be, don't fall for it. It could happen before, it could happen after. But nobody knows the time or the day of his return. What's important is that we know that it's going to happen. We're told here that no one knows and that even believers could be surprised. Not that it's going to happen, but at the moment when it does happen. The Lord will return suddenly and unexpectedly, Paul warns. So be ready. Because no one knows when Jesus will come back to earth, we should be prepared at all times. What does it mean to be prepared as a Christian? What do you guys think that looks like? What that means? Be prepared at all times. Well, it means my priorities in life should be God-focused. That doesn't just mean that I read my Bible every day or that, you know, I come to church every Sunday. It means I'm God-focused in my family. That I am living in my family in the ways and the examples that God calls me to. It means I am God-focused in my job. I'm trying to set an example as a believer in the place where I work. I am God-focused with the people around me. I'm not just going to go along with the crowd, especially if it's unglorifying to God, but I'm going to be a man or woman who represents the name of Jesus Christ. We need to be ready. It means my priorities aren't just in trying to pay the bills. My priorities are also in ministry and serving as well. Suppose he were to return today. How would he find you living? Suppose he were to return today. How would he find you living? Are you ready to meet him? We need to live each day prepared for the love of Christ in our heart. Now verses 4 through 11, scripture says, but you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light, children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and a hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. In here, when Paul says belonging to the darkness, it is a figure or an example of the unbeliever's moral state and separation from God. We do not belong to the darkness because as believers, we are a part of the light in Jesus Christ. Amen? So, the unbelievers are separated from God and they belong to that darkness and they're going to be totally caught off guard by the return of Christ. Also, it says those who are asleep, and here is a different term than what we've seen earlier in chapter 4. This area where it's talking about those asleep is not talking about physically asleep, but being morally asleep. As a believer in Jesus Christ, being a part of the light, we can't be morally asleep. Living and acting as the world does, and thinking it's okay. It is good that we don't know exactly when Christ will return. And the main reason for that is, I know there's probably a bunch of us that would probably live it up any way we wanted, and when it came up to that date, we would then try to make everything right and do it the right way, right? That's the way people are. And, God's a little too smart for that. And he knows that, listen, nobody knows the time of day. You need to be on your game at all times. Bring glory to him. The other thing is we might be tempted to be just lazy in our work purpose. We need to have lives. So being tempted to be lazy, or we would just oversin until before he came, you know, all these things are reasons why he does not give us the time of day. And as we read earlier, a day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, 1,000 years to the day. I know some of you are thinking, boy, if I had to shovel one more thing of snow, I wish the Lord would return right now, right? But God is waiting patiently that everyone will come to hear and receive. And so, because of that, we wait upon the Lord to live for his glory. Heaven is not our only goal. We need to understand that we have work to do here. I guess I can't emphasize that enough. Every Sunday you hear it. Heaven is not the final goal of the believer. It is the final destination of the believer, but the goal is to do ministry and to do the work of the Lord here on earth while we're here. That's why he has placed us here. Christ must keep on doing God's work until death or until we see the unmistakable return of our Savior. So as Christians, we must keep on doing his work. Finally, in verse 11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. As believers, we need to be alert. We need to be sober. We need to be self-disciplined. encouraging and edifying or building each other up. Can't emphasize that enough. We need to be encouraging each other and building each other up. Are you alert to the darkness around and keep yourself in the light? Are you working through the strength of God to be more self-disciplined? Let me ask a question. Are you encouraging others around you or within the church? When is the last time you just went up to someone and said, good job, or thank you? Lenny, thank you for all the shoveling you've been doing this year here for the church. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for doing the thrift store. Thank you for doing the website. Thank you for greeting. Thank you for driving the van. Thank you for the audio. Thank you for the computers. Thank you for Sunday school. Thank you for youth group. Thank you for kids club. Thank you for praise. You know, it'd be nice to say, you know, it's not for their glory, but we got to encourage each other. Why? Because we all grow weary at times. And we start to run out of strength. And when you have an encouragement, it reminds you that, you know, this is for the glory of the Lord. And praise God for it. Amen? Let out of our lips be less complaining, more encouraging those around us. So behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's your jubilee, and at Zion's hill salvation comes. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you and praise you that you are coming again. Lord, let us be ready. For Lord, when that trumpet blasts, we're out of here. And hopefully we'll hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Lord God, until that time, let us be diligent in living and serving you. We love you. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to try a new song this morning called The Only Name Yours Will Be. Let's stand together and worship.
Amen.
I'd like to thank you for listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come and pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. The phone number is 570-645-2212. And leave your name, your address, and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.